All right, it's my distinct pleasure. I have Casey Dietz. He grew up, longtime Chico resident, and he actually lives in L.A., and he is with the Velveteen, and he's here to talk about the Chico Vibe. Welcome to the Chico Vibe, Casey.
Hey, y'all. Hey. How's it going?
It's going great, man, here in Chico. Starting to cool off a little bit, so just so let our listeners know what the Chico Vibe means to you, Casey.
The Chico Vibe is, it runs deep. There's so much music. And there's, like, the community is so tight and just, like, welcoming, kind of, like, open arms, like, all kinds of music. Grew up, you know, seeing all kinds of bands and, yeah, just really positive. I always love seeing shows there and seeing new bands and stuff. It's always, like, a really good vibe.
Lead us into your song here, Casey, for our listeners at KZFR 90.1 FM.
First song is called You Were the First, and it's off the Velveteen's last full-length album.
And you got an official video that's out on your website, thevelveteen.com.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's us in Japan the last time we went 2 years ago, and our buddy Timmy from Santa Rosa filmed it. Great guy. So yeah, check it out.
To the Chico Vibe on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And always know, the opinions voiced in this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, underwriters, or possibly even the host. All right, we have Jason Cassidy live. It's nice to have you live, man. We usually do a pre-record.
Yeah, yeah. Art Stevo's glad to be here.
Awesome, man. What's up? What's up? What's up?
What's up in Chico? Everything's up, man. Everything's happening all at once. I love it. I think the big ticket item, at least from my perspective, is Chico World Music Festival happening this weekend at the at Chico State on just on Saturday this time. I think they've been doing that the last couple of years, only one day, but it's free. It's a free music festival.
It's awesome. I caught the last year they did 2 days. And we do a bunch of interviews tonight. Two interviews today.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Yeah. And it's great. I mean, it's not just music, too. There's all kinds of stuff for family. There's great food. And yeah, it's a nice day.
Children's stage.
Yeah. It's going to, of course, heat up again on the weekend because what September community event wouldn't be, exactly. It wouldn't be Chico without being blazing hot.
Boom.
And then as far as other things going on, my pick of the week is this show that's happening tonight at the Naked Lounge with Kung Fu Grip, kind of crowd-pleasing rap music. And there's a band lower on the bill that I'm curious to see because everyone keeps telling me about them. I still haven't seen them live. I've seen them online. Is Pervert, which is this great mix of hip-hop and just noise and punk and
nice.
They get people super stirred up. I've heard that their shows can be legendary, that there might have been actually crowd surfing at the Naked Lounge last time they played. So
wow, that's a cool space. I really like the Naked Lounge.
So that's my recommendation. I actually might not be able to make it to it. I'm trying everything I can to get all my stuff done that I need to get done. But
yeah, including this. Thanks for coming by.
Well, this is, yeah.
This
yeah.
is too
this
much
is like
fun
breathing. I got to do this.
Yeah. Anything else?
I don't know. Yeah, there's a great show tomorrow night. I mean, you just teased it there with Velveteen and Surrogate and Scout.
Scout.
It's a packed bill. Velveteen, of course, with Casey Dietz, one of Chico's favorite drummers, also the drummer for the Americas.
Nice. Like I said earlier in the day on KZFR, Jake Sparker, man, is just like this guy could drum like nobody's business.
He's inhuman. It's
inhuman. That's it. Yeah.
I used to practice at the same space that he was at, and we would sit on the car hood of the car, waiting for them to finish, and just listening, astounded what he was doing inside.
All right, I'm going to be checking that out. Thanks so much for swinging by, Jason.
Yeah, you got it.
And we'll help you out. We'll make it short this week so you can get out and get up,
all right,
do your
thank
stuff,
you.
Get to
it.
The Naked Lounge.
All right, I got stuff to do.
Take
thanks.
Care, man.
Hello, this is Dave Waddell, the news director at Chico Soul, the investigative news magazine of Chico, and I'm with Gabriel Sandoval, who's interning with Chico Soul, I'm very happy to say, this fall semester. And we're going to be talking about some stories we've done over the past couple of months at Chico Soul, and I'm going to go ahead and start with Gabriel and have him talk about a story he wrote about Butte College, a long-running investigation by the federal government into how Butte College handled a rape investigation, and Gabe dug very deep into that story. Gabe, could you tell the listeners about it?
Sure. The federal government, the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights, just concluded its federal investigation into Butte College's handling of student rape allegations, and they determined that the community college had violated federal law in the way they dealt with the handling of the case. And this one started in September 2012 when a student claimed that she was raped at an off-campus party and reported it to the college. And the college's response didn't live up to what it needed to do in order to comply with Title IX. And that's what was the outcome of the federal investigation.
This case involved a football player at the time, 2012, and involved an alleged rape of a student. And the college investigated that allegation to some degree. But how did it come up short in its investigation?
So the college failed on a number of fronts. One of the things that it wasn't able to do was have policies and procedures in place that were compliant with Title IX. The Office for Civil Rights investigators found that before and after the student's complaint, the policies that Butte College sets forth on their website weren't compliant with the Title IX, which ensures that educational institutions are offering programs and activities that are equal to both sexes on campus. And that was one of the ways that the college didn't comply. Another way that it failed was in its way that it dealt with the student's initial complaint. She had requested that the college put a mutual no-contact order and restrictions between her and the person she had accused of a sexual assault, and the college didn't grant her that request. And so she was not able to walk freely on campus and didn't give her equal opportunity to activities and programs, which is required under Title IX. Another way that the college failed was in its grievance process. So when the college began to investigate the case, the Title IX coordinator, Alan Renville, he didn't afford the accusing student all the rights that he afforded the student that was accused. So she wasn't allowed to present all the evidence that she had, and she wasn't allowed to offer some of the witnesses that she wanted to be interviewed in this Title IX investigation. And OCR, which is the acronym for the Office for Civil Rights, they found that that was not in compliant with Title IX. Another aspect of this case, Al Renville, he solicited information from the student's past sexual activity from friends of the football player, and that contributed to his decision to say that there was not enough evidence to discipline the student athlete. That was another failure that the Office for Civil Rights found in this case.
They also found as a failure of the athletic director and a football coach to report the alleged rape, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct. Those two college employees were required to report the case to the proper campus employee, which is the Title IX coordinator, and they had failed to do that. Another way that the college had fumbled in this situation was in its appeals process. The appeals process, according to OCR, it was not fair to the accusing student.
As a backdrop to the case was a Brandon Banks case, which you referred to in your article, which involved a football player from Vanderbilt University who was involved in, I think, a gang rape or some kind of situation back there, who ended up on the Butte College football team in 2014. And then this became public and he left the team, but he was recently convicted and sentenced, convicted of aggravated rape, I think, and other charges, and he was sentenced to 15 years in prison. You know, this was, you know, all football related, I guess, these things we're talking about, football team related.
That's right. The Brandon Banks situation came about a couple months after the U.S. Department of Education released a list of colleges and universities that were under investigation for possible mishandling of sexual assault cases related to Title IX. And when that list came out in May 2014, it created a lot of attention because this was the Obama administration's effort to be more transparent about its enforcement of Title IX and to crack down on campus sexual assault. So a few months after this list was released with Butte College on it, it came out that Butte College had a football player by the name of Brandon Banks, who was currently facing felony charges in Tennessee for his role in a pretty gruesome gang rape of a student at that college.
Butte College has to comply with certain requirements now in the agreement letter it signed, I think, and we'll be following that story. Gabe did a terrific job of researching that and getting the true story out there. But another story that he worked on and just published ahead of everybody else locally was the DACA story. But Gabe, could you talk about your DACA coverage?
Sure. Right now, there are 800,000 undocumented immigrants in the United States who are covered under an Obama-era program called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And the Trump administration and Donald Trump, the president, have said that they will eliminate this program. And today they announced their decision on DACA. And they decided that they will end the program in 6 months. And this is troubling news to a lot of students in the local area, a lot of people who are shielded from deportation. And this is terrible news for them, but great news for hardline immigration hawks. The story that I did recently for Chico Soul basically expressed the fears of local students at Butte College and Chico State who are covered by Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. This program gives them ability to have work permits, to stay in the United States without fear of deportation. They are able to have a social security number and they're able to pay taxes. This program gave them the opportunity to step out of the shadows, to be members of a society that they have been since they came to the United States as very young children. So today is a devastating day for these students. In the future, they're not going to be protected by this program. what the Trump administration announced today is that they want Congress to act to amend the situation. They want Congress to fix the immigration laws in the country so that something can be done about the situation for students or young people who came to the United States and are American citizens in every way except on paper.
And the person you quoted in your article, I forget his name. But
Aldo?
Yeah, he came to the U.S. as a one-year-old, and he's in his 20s now.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to send him, quote, home?
Exactly. He came from Mexico as a one-year-old, and he doesn't know anything besides the United States. He found out that he was undocumented as a child, and he didn't really understand the full extent of what that meant until he was a teenager. And now, as a 26-year-old, he tells me this is really an unfortunate situation, and he's afraid of the possibilities and not being able to work. That's a big concern of students who are in this situation, the potential to not be able to work and to provide for themselves.
This is Dave Waddell, news director at Chico Soul. Yeah, I recruited Gabriel here from Chula Vista, and along with a lot of other students, and one of those students was a Dream Act student, came to the United States, brought to the United States after some relatives died or became ill in Mexico when she was about age 7. But she was a model student, model citizen, came to Chico State, editor of the paper. Fortunately, she graduated about the same time Obama issued his edicts, and she was able to go to work right away after college, and that's what she's done and been successful. And now I just wonder and worry what happens to her with this new Trump administration position. Do you know?
So Trump issued a statement today, and the U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions made the announcement at the Department of Justice, and they laid out what their plan is for now. And I don't have all the details in front of me, but DACA is going to be running out in 6 months. And as of now, I know that no new permits are going to be issued.
Well, thanks, Gabe, for joining me and for the September edition of the Chico Soul segment of the Chico Vibe. Thanks to our listeners.
Thank you so much.
Man, a lot of times truth is stranger than fiction, as we're producing this whole segment on the DACA announcements and the Title IX investigation of a sexual assault at Butte College campus. Our very own education secretary, Betsy DeVos, vowed Thursday to replace what she branded the failed system of campus sexual assault enforcement to ensure fairness for victims and the accused. This is the typical way Republicans spin taking away civil rights. Who could possibly be against that? Then she goes on to say, instead of working with schools, DeVos said, the prior administration weaponized the Office for Civil Rights. And if you've listened to the previous segment from Gabriel Sandoval with Chico Soul, you can see where the Office of Civil Rights acted as a safety net. Okay. The other topic that Chico Soul covered was the whole DACA announcement. And as citizens, we can respond to that by education and getting involved. And one educational opportunity that's coming up tomorrow is a free DACA application renewal and review clinic hosted by Andrew D. Hawley, attorney for immigrants. And that will be 30 Independent Circle Suite 400 in Chico, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Coming up right now, actually, is another wonderful education opportunity as the Chico Vibe interviews Elizabeth Alanis, Assistant Director at Financial Aid and Scholarship Office at Chico State, with insights on how this is unfolding on campus, what the community can do to help, and the difference between DREAMers and DACA here on People Powered Radio. All right, Guillermo Mesh here for the September 8th edition of the Chico Vibe, and it's my pleasure to have Elizabeth Alanis, Assistant Director, Financial Aid and Scholarship at Chico State University. Welcome to KZFR, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me.
So we're here to talk about DACA, otherwise known as the DREAM Act. And the first thing that I was hopeful to get some insights for our listener is, what is your department's role in assisting DACA or DREAM students on campus?
Well, just really quick, because I want to correct you, DACA is actually not the DREAM Act. So DACA was an executive order. The federal DREAM Act has not passed. There's been attempted, but it has not passed. And so there is the California DREAM Act. And so that's what I like to do on campus. I like to, let people know the correct information, because it is confusing. And we want to make sure that people know the right information.
So what is the California Dream Act that you're referring to? Because you're correct. I've heard these two terms intertwined multiple times.
The California Dream Act is actually Assembly Bill 130 and 131. So those assembly bills apply to students who are applying for financial aid and scholarships in California. And so with this, students are able to, for example, attend the community college and get the BOG fee waiver, or attend a CSU or UC and get a state grant or a Cal grant. And so it helps students pay for tuition. There isn't any other financial aid that students are eligible for like the FAFSA, but there is sometimes loan opportunities as well. Here at Chico State, we're very limited on the loan funds, so not all students are eligible or able to get the loan, but that is also under the financial aid eligibility. So a lot of people get that confused. That has not changed with this recent news that we've heard about DACA. So DACA is, as I mentioned before, an executive order to allow eligible undocumented people to work with a work permit that has to be renewed every 2 years. They're eligible for a Social Security number to use for work purposes, and they are given low priority deportation. And so that is what was announced yesterday that would end in 6 months.
So in layman's terms, DACA is really the protection of these students for not being deported in the DREAM Act or the DREAM legislation's financial aid for those students.
Yes, the California DREAM is the legislation's for financial aid, yes.
What is the nationwide DREAM Act then? The one, do you know about the federal level? Because that was the first time I heard about it was at the federal level.
Yes, well, it didn't pass. It was brought up, and I don't have the dates on me, but it was brought up and it did not pass. And so it hasn't been brought back up again. And so that is the message that we're trying to help push with Congress all this time. And I think since there wasn't anything else that was able to be done when Congress didn't pass it last time, that's why the executive order probably came to be. So people in the situation who are, you know, were brought here young are able to work and attend, help pay for school this way and get low priority deportation.
Yeah, they pay taxes and they actually pay every 2 years to have their permit renewed.
Yes. So if you do the math, it's $495 every 2 years for about 800,000 applicants.
Wow.
And they have to renew it every 2 years. And not to mention, yes, these people are also working. They get taxes taken out, Social Security, Medicare. They're paying into this, and they're helping the economy. They're, working. They're buying cars. They're buying homes. They're, spending money here as well and paying taxes. Part of my job here in financial aid is also reviewing taxes, and they do file taxes. So I see that, and they do pay their fair share as well.
So how many Chico State students are affected by the rescinding of the DACA program on March 5th, 2018?
That's an answer, a question I cannot answer. Okay. We do not ask, students if you have DACA here. There's no way of finding out how many students are affected on this campus. We have about 300 DREAM applicants through the California DREAM Act application, but there's no way for me to tell who has DACA and who doesn't.
Well, that's actually nice to know, because it really, in a way, financial aid doesn't really have a need to know that. You're just administering financial aid. So I think I like the privacy aspects of that.
Yes, me too.
What is the mood on the DACA students? Well, actually, it's stated just like I had it. What is the mood of the Dreamers at Chico State towards this Justice Department action that occurred yesterday?
I can't, speak for all of them, of course, because everyone is going through it differently. Based on yesterday's meeting, we had we met at the Chico State Dream Center at 8 o'clock for those who wanted to hear the news together. And then we invited everyone for a debrief conversation at the CCLC. And during that time, students, I think we're still, a lot of us, we're still in shock. Some of us are in denial. Some of us are mad. Some of us, are sad. And I think yesterday was just trying to get through the shock of the news and how even it was given. I'm still trying to, come to terms of, you know, is this a, you know, I still can't believe it happened. Later out throughout the day, you know, students were coming in and out of the Dream Center, you know, to get support. You know, I was answering their questions. And so a lot of them were, you know, wanting to get clarification. What does this exactly mean? Does my DACA still work? When do I have to renew it? Is it going to still be good after March 5th? And so I think everyone's just in a different place, and it's just we're gonna go through those stages of grief as well, as we were talking about it yesterday, you know, just trying to get through this emotions. And then once we, you know, once the students kind of get a handle of what they're being confronted with, then we'll be able to hopefully gather and be able to write to our congressmen, our political officials, and, you know, push for change.
So what can concerned community members or our listeners do to assist students within Butte County that are affected by this?
You know, try to stay informed. I know there's a lot of confusion with the difference between DACA and AB 540. Mm-hmm. Staying informed. It's not easy to always know those terms. We do have our website. It's ccuchico.edu/AB540. We always have announcements on there. I'm trying to see if we can come up with a way to help support students that need to renew. They have 1 month, really, to renew. October 5th is going to be the last day they can renew for DACA. And for having students to come up with $495 in 30 days, in addition to, you know, they have to save money because they may not be able to work in 6 months, I'm going to try to see if there's a way we could try to fundraise or do something to help students with that fee. We have a donation button. If anybody wants to make a donation on our website, that'd be awesome. And those funds could go towards that as well.
Any final comments? Elizabeth Alanis, Assistant Director of Financial Aid and Scholarship at Chico State.
Let's stay informed. Let's stay united. We really need to help these students. They are definitely have been here since they were infants. They went to school with your children. They are working with you at work. They are here. They're part of our economy. They've been here all their lives and doing all the right things. This is the time that we need to turn around and really get informed and push for immigration reform.
All right, Gamma Mesh here with the September 8th edition of the Chico Vibe with Howard Hardy, the writer at the Chico News and Review, who penned the article, Go Ahead on Guns, Council Majority Votes to Arm City Park Rangers. Welcome to KZFR, Howard Hardy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, how about a rundown for our listeners? You know, give our listeners a gist of what happened and what was approved by the Chico City Council of a vote of 4 yeas, 2 nays, and 1 absent.
The city council majority voted to essentially turn all 3 of the city's park rangers into sworn officers, complete with firearms. And in addition to that, some actually pretty important training on how to use their tasers and pepper spray, which it came out over the course of this meeting that they hadn't been receiving that training. They had been carrying pepper spray and tasers, but weren't properly trained with how to use them, which is kind of disturbing.
What was the general mood in the room, man?
General mood in the room? You know, up until the very end, I felt like it was a very civil public forum. The people who were protesting the decision or the proposal at the time were all wearing green. Everybody mostly had very thoughtful comments on both sides. I thought there were some pretty eloquent arguments that were laid out on both sides. Things got a little dramatic toward the end of it, though.
Yeah, that was my next question. Reactions in the room after the vote, or towards the end of it.
Yeah, it was more so leading up to that final vote. You know, as I mentioned in the story, Randall Stone gets up on his soapbox and, you know, announces that he is opposed to the proposal. And that drew a big round of applause from the crowd. Well, mostly the people wearing green, as I mentioned before. And Mayor Sean Morgan, rather, told the audience members that they were being unprofessional. And that drew a big reaction from the crowd. Some booing, and then one member actually stood up and walked out.
Yeah, I actually had that circled. You know, Morgan basically saying, we've been professional and you have not. I think there's another term of calling the kettle black. But one comment, since we're talking about Mayor Morgan and Vice Mayor Filmer, did either of those two have any credible data to support the wave of hard criminals that are on our streets of Chico from AB 109 or voter approved Pop 57? Or is this something they just flipped out there?
Well, I don't think they produced any hard data necessarily, but that is a narrative that we've heard quite a bit, that AB 109 and some of those other similar bills have led to more seasoned, hardened criminals being released prematurely and end up on the streets. To my knowledge, they haven't presented evidence of that.
I haven't seen it either.
But I do believe that's a narrative that is backed up by the Chico Police Department as well.
Yeah, I know.
Of the other law enforcement agencies in the area. I've heard that a lot in various forms.
They had a narrative before it was put into effect, and they haven't changed it at all. I don't think they're data-driven on that narrative, by my perception. But I know there was kind of a disturbing thing. Chico Soul reported on it, too, and the gist was that Fillmore was trying to make the case that rape was no longer a felony, which that's bizarre, other than coming from... Any thoughts on that? Any background on that?
Yeah. Well, I don't have any background on that. I think I was kind of as confused as a lot of people were when she said that. But I wrote about it because even though it's kind of off topic, you know, it kind of went down this rabbit hole. I chose to write about it because that was partially her justification for making this decision to arm the park rangers. And, you know, it's just based on false information. So I felt like that was important to get out to readers and voters.
Yeah, some of the politics. I mean, you end it. There was a motion. Ann Schwab did a motion to amend to make sure we ensure funding for educational interpretive programs. But Sorensen declined because I don't see the Rangers' job changing from what they're doing today. So for me, as a citizen, Howard, I'm kind of going, well, if I was in Sorensen's shoes, I'd go, sure, let's just vote for it, because obviously we're not going to change anything. So the politics is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I had noticed that as well, that if it's not going to change markedly, then why are we making this move?
And if you really believe that, now why not put the marker down and say we're going to reserve the funds to do ranger work? Because, of course, according to Sorensen, we're going to continue doing it. Of course, you can't continue doing anything without the money. Any closing comments?
Yeah, I keep thinking of this dramatic principle. It's called Chekhov's gun, where once you introduce a gun during a story, somebody's going to shoot it.
Yeah.
And of course, this is real life and not a novel or a play. But I fear that this is ultimately going to result in a park ranger using a firearm against a citizen, which obviously isn't something that you'd hope for from somebody who's supposed to be an environmental steward.
Yeah.
Or really any enforcement official.
I was trying to work on, I'm not going to call it a meme, but this thing comes to my mind, Howard, of kind of coming up. It seems like the people that are the most fearful of the fact that too many people have guns are proponing that we have more guns. It's just like, I don't know where it stopped.
Yeah, so the general attitude seems to be that more guns equals greater public safety.
Yeah, we learned really early in Navy training that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. Guns were very secured and very well distributed to people that needed them. So, but anyway, Howard, thanks for coming in. You know, it's a wonderful story. I appreciate the writing.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. Next up, Corey Himpump with a poem he penned for the Portraits of Desmond, an open art entry show. That was at last week's Butcher Shop. And it's titled Peace for Desmond. And that front ends an interview we did here, recorded in the studio on Wednesday with David Phillips, the father of Desmond Phillips, a young man killed in an officer-involved shooting on St. Patrick's Day. Justice for Desmond.
So much pain, so much hate. While so many die, when others look away, I'ma share peace and create space. Let's share peace and create space. So many arguing what's not the truth, and they never even truly knew. It would be silly too if it didn't cost so many based on the hue of the skin they ain't even get a chance to choose. Advancement of the youth damaged by the rules. Not a roadblock but a broken branch of clues. A few construe and use while the average confused lose hope and use dope. I climbed out and grew soul, Negro spiritual dream flow. A vat of that, we might not make it to the mountaintop, but we see the gleam, no. With a clean coat in the mean snow, I've grown a hardened shell from a darkened trail to dance with Gargamel and come back and tell his secrets. The reasons, I'll be clear. As possible and logical, some obstacles take lots of skull, the skill and will of patience. Painted faintly across the cross of ink, this kind of thankless we bear when making changes where there's no complaining. Maybe that's why we keep complaining. Or could it be the shaming, gunning down a man you was paid to protect, cause you wasn't trained enough to contain him? And that's before explaining what part racial persuasion plays in the fear of Caucasian government agents. American conditioning goes both ways, and too many of us is afraid to say this. So many in the U.S. are unwilling to see it, so scared they're gonna lose what they never knew they had, they couldn't believe it. Meaner to protesters and speakers than killers in the street are. A favorite change of topic when you ask how accountable police are. Emotions are inevitable, but what's a solution deferred? Or the value of an objective obscured for the pleasure of letting them know an opinion of their worth they can pretend they never heard? Thoughts to observe? Most seeds are for sure. But what thoughts will you encourage with your deeds, time, and words is where we are the cure. Take deep breaths, speak with open minds and hearts, see starts, be smart. We are the cure.
All right, Gamma Mash here with the September 8th edition of the Chico Vibe with David Phillips, father of Desmond Phillips, a young man who was tragically gunned down in an officer-involved shooting on St. Patrick's Day here in Chico, California. Welcome to the studio, David Phillips.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to start off with, you know, maybe a little background on the case, some things you'd like our listeners to know in a couple of minutes.
There was a lot of things that Mike Ramsey had stated about the case. I think that the public should know that Desmond was shot 8 times when he was down, and I've been telling them that all along. Coroner's office, of course, said the same thing, that they were aimed down. So he took 8 bullets while he was down. Also, Mr. Ramsey said that the taser didn't work. I went in and I took pictures of my son when we finally got him to Sacramento. Desmond had second and third degree taser burns on his body. They tased him above the heart and the chest, which is a no-no. Ramsey did not say all of the officers that were involved in the shooting. 2 weeks later, our puppy was chewing on a bullet shell, a 9mm shell. So he's got some explaining to do about that as well.
You were an eyewitness.
I was an eyewitness. Yes. I relive it every day. I think the public should know that. We have so many facts. I'm not just sitting here making this up. We gathered facts. So.
Yeah, and I appreciate all your will and passion to, you know, bring some justice to this. Look up Justice for Desmond on Facebook. Let's talk a little bit about the wonderful 1078 pop-up that was at the butcher shop last weekend. And maybe a little start with us, a little bit of a comment on Corey Himpump's wonderful poem he wrote, man.
Oh, wow. It was so heartfelt. And the Phillips family, we so appreciate that. You know, that was such a beautiful event. I'm ready to tear up right now. I love it. I absolutely love it. It was great.
Listeners, just, you know, tuning in, I'll put a picture of the exhibit out on the Chico Vibe Facebook page, but it was just a wonderful exhibit of about 12 different types of portraits of Desmond. Some were watercolor, some were paint, but it was just wonderfully presented.
Erin Wade, she did an amazing job. I just so love that woman. She did a wonderful, wonderful job. And it brought some awareness to some people that did not know about this case or know what happened. So, yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, it certainly was, David Phillips. You know, I know you've got some upcoming events around Justice for Desmond. Why don't we get a little insight on that?
Yeah, we're having a little get-together September 17th. From 2 to 4 downtown is to bring awareness to the mental ill as well as the homeless and the public. So those that have homes, those that don't, those that are mentally ill, we want to just bring the community together, you know, and just bring them together, some togetherness, and let them see and interact with the homeless, interact with people with mental illness, so we can bring some awareness to the community that you just don't throw people away. You know, people have mental illness, they're homeless, what have you. We just want to bring some awareness, basically, you know, bring some togetherness, because we're tired of living in fear.
I'll definitely be sure to attend that.
Yeah, plenty of food, drink, everything.
I think standing up for racial, showing up for racial justice surge in Butte County is another group that's been heavily involved in helping Justice for Desmond.
Yeah, it was definitely a racial thing with my son Desmond, and that's why I want these police officers held accountable for what they did, because again, I was there, I relive this every day, I seen it, and it was very tragic. They trapped that kid, You know, he was scared out of his mind. He was in the middle of a mental crisis, and then people that are supposed to protect you, serve and protect, they came in, seeked and destroyed. They did exactly what they planned on doing, and they succeeded. They murdered someone. So,
just to circle back real quick, Scott and Paula Rushing, the parents for Tyler Rushing, who is another person that was tragically gunned down in an officer-involved shooting on July 23rd, with precious little information that's been distributed from the DA and the police, other than the initial press releases.
Yeah, I've actually talked to Mr. Rushing as well, and his son again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but his son was murdered as well. Mike Ramsey knows that he screwed up so much in Desmond's case. He's not trying to bring it out to the public. You say you got video of the incident. Where is it? You know,
yeah.
Why are you so hush hush?
Yeah.
You know, it's let's bring it out.
Yeah, it makes it just that it much
doesn't
more
make
difficult
any
on
sense.
Their parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, those parents are struggling so hard.
Yes,
I mean, I did a long interview with them a couple of weeks ago.
Right. I heard that. Yeah.
All right, David Phillips, thanks for coming in. Any closing comments?
Just be aware, Chico community, just be aware, be safe. We love each other. This is a beautiful town. We should not be living in fear.
All righty.
Period.
Amen on that. All right, Guillermo Mash here for the September 8th edition of the Chico Vibe, and I have on the phone for a pre-record Darren Goodsell, the marketing director for the 24th annual Chico World Music Festival, a free event taking place this Saturday, September 9th, on the beautiful Chico State campus. Welcome to KZFR, Darren.
Thank you.
I know you're excited. I'm excited. Get our listeners excited about what they can expect.
Well, when you're looking at something happening in Chico, there's always something going on in Chico, from downtown to the park to the university. And this Saturday, we will be offering a free Chico World Music Festival. It's the 24th annual.
Yay.
And what basically happens is we construct stages from the ground up on the lawn in front of Kendall, a big stage with lots of sound equipment. We put a kids' stage on the lawn in front of Laxon. We open up Laxon so the Laxon stage is available, and we open up the Ruth Roland Taylor Recital Hall and make that a little bit of a smaller stage. And all of that has continuous music going on it from 11:30 to 6 this Saturday.
The website for our listeners, it's real simple, ChicoWorldMusicFestival.com, and that's 11:30 a.m. to 6 o'clock p.m., and as I can't say it enough, it's free. Any tips for people attending?
You know, a lot of people hear the word world music and they're like, I'm not going to go. But really, this is a very family-friendly event. We have a kids' stage, the one in front of Laxon on the lawn, that has 7 local performances by local kids for local kids. We have 3 major world music acts coming on all the other stages. And we're featuring Pat Hall and his band, local Pat Hall, performing in Ruth Roland Taylor. And, you know, then on top of all that, we have about 8 food carts, and we have artisans selling, and we have free art classes from the Chico Art Center. We've got Gateway Museum offering free crafts around the theme of puppetry. We've got Chico Children's Museum bringing their giant building blocks.
Nice.
And we've also got Gateway Museum doing an interpretive booth on the sights and sounds of music. So it's like encompassing the whole family. There's free things to do. Bring your lawn chair, buy food, have a good time. It's just a really nice location and a really, really beautiful event.
I can't say enough about your website, too. I mean, there's like a little music preview out there, but everything you need to know is out there, Chico World
everything
Music.
Everything you need to know.
Everything you need to know. And I'm going to be interviewing Natalie from 7th Street Center for the Arts, and they're going to be on the kids' stage 11:30 to 12. But
they're kicking the kids' stage off.
They
and
are.
That's the first time we've had Mansell with Natalie, and we're so excited about it. We think that that's just a tremendous way to showcase. The kids' stage really showcases all the young performers we have in the area and all of the performers that are young that want to be on stage, and their parents are so appreciative of them being able to be on stage at an event like this.
Yeah, it is. There's also a lot of fun things to do. I know you have like big like puppet kind of things walking around and stuff. It's just a blast.
Yeah, and you know, there's no reason not to even try it out if you're just anywhere near downtown. Park and walk over. You know, if it's not your thing, you don't have to stay, but we find that most people, when they wander over, they're like, God, this is is great. Where's it been? And we're like, it's been here 24 years, you know? And they just need to know about it and talk about it. And then once they get there, like, this is just an awesome thing that's offered by the university to the populace of Chico.
All right, I'm going to lead into a Pat Hull song. Thanks so much, Darren, and maybe I'll see you.
You are so welcome. Yeah, come see Pat Hull. He's on the Ruth Roland Taylor stage doing two sets with his band, four of them there. And then we've got a Chilean singer-songwriter. We have Sitar Trek doing sitar. And we've got Balkan, Balkalicious Fire Drive. So that's our breath of our world music there.
Enjoy this Pat Hull song, Everything. And this is off of pathullmusic.com.
To a tree, out comes a swarm. Finding it hard.
Guillermo Mash here with the September 8th edition of the Chico Vibe with Natalie Valencia, who is the program manager at Mainsil 7th Street Center for the Arts, who opened their door June 2008, coming up on a 10-year anniversary. Natalie, welcome to KZFR.
Thank you very much.
We brought Natalie in here to get the scoop on the Chico World Music Festival Saturday, tomorrow, 11:30 to 6 p.m., and it's free. But you guys are your first appearance there, and you're kicking off the kids stage, right?
Yes, we're really excited about collaborating with Chico State and the World Music Festival. It's a great event. I've always loved what Chico State does for the community, and it fits right in with our core values and what we're all about of serving our community. And we are going to we were reproducing the show that we were on tour with last spring throughout Butte County Elementary Schools, which is a collection of Shel Silverstein poems that I call the show As the Tale Spins. And, so from 11:30 to noon, we are on.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the one act that I've seen from you guys that you've produced.
Oh, great.
And I was
excellent.
Just blown away. So our listeners, man, if I was blown away, you're going to be blown away. And there is quite a few people. I'm saying there's 2 dozen people in the production. Is that close?
That's a little high.
A little high?
I think it's more like 16.
16?
But there's a lot of props and a lot of different things going on throughout the show, so it may seem like that. People play different parts.
Oh, it's a wonderful opportunity. I'm just pleased that you're going to be kicking it off, and I have a feeling you'll be a staple at the World Music Festival.
I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping that it turns into something like that. We're really excited about being there. We are first, so please, if you got kids, please come on out and catch the show, because it's a great way to support what it is that we're doing. There's great acts all day on the kids stage, as well as, of course, on the other main stages as well. And it's a great way to spend the day.
11:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's going to be tomorrow. Chico World Music Festival on the Chico State campus. You can't miss it. It's like you walk on campus, you'll see all sorts of signs. Thanks, Natalie.
That's right. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Guillermo.
Guillermo Mash with Holly Taylor on the phone with the lowdown on Rock for Reeds with Rigmarole and Holly and Tom and more. Maltese tomorrow night. Welcome.
Thanks, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really interested in where this money's going to go that you're raising, this whole Rocks for Reeds at the Music Connection.
From what I understand, I was just asked to be on the bill, and I heard it was about music supplies for students, so I was just in regardless of what it was. But the money's going to go towards an account that'll be set up at the Music Connection for band students that could come whenever they need supplies. So band students are always needing reeds or maybe a neck strap or, you know, a swab to clean out their instrument or whatever. And a lot of times schools don't have money to provide that. And then parents don't necessarily have the money to come up with those supplies. So the money is going towards this account that's going to be set up at the Music Connection. So kids can just come in and say, hey, I'm at this junior high school. I play saxophone. I need a reed. And it's going to be there.
That's sweet. Coming up next will be Cesar Sanchez to talk a little bit more about the bill. Thanks for being on, Holly Taylor.
You betcha. Thanks, Bill.
Well, just to go off what Holly said, just to clarify, it's something I've always wanted to do for actual the music teachers that come into our store all the time. And they always have to come in and buy, you know, students reads who need them or like a strap. And they also always have to do it off of a purchase order or some kind of red tape they always go through. And sometimes they have to front the money themselves and get paid back. And so just to clarify, it's not for students to come in, it's for the students' teachers.
Oh, got it. Okay.
You know, people who play in this band called Rigmarole, all made of teachers who play in a band, and they all do education in music.
People like
Brian Heimlich, Austin King, Seth, and a bunch of other guys who play in this cover band, rock band, do their own originals, and they're just inspirations as far as people who are there at the beginning of people's musical endeavors. They're actually playing with Brad Peterson and friends, some people from the Swigs, and then Holly Taylor and Tom, who have been wanting to get out and do more stuff. And that's going to go to an account at the Music Connection called Rock for Reeds.
So I'm going to see a little bit of teachers jamming at the
small
team.
Oh,
awesome.
Be jamming hard. I mean, Holly Taylor is a music teacher.
Yeah.
Other people teach music in other ways just by playing. But yes, Rigmarole is filled with music teachers who play in this band.
What's the door? When's it start, man?
Saturday, September 9th at the Maltese at 8 p.m. It is 21 and over, $7 to $10 sliding scale, and all of the proceeds go to the Rock for Reeds.
Awesome, man. Wonderful support of the music scene there, man. Get on down, folks that are listening. And thanks as always, Cesar. See you around, man.
All right. See you around.
All right, Guillermo Mash, if you like what you just heard, go on out, kzfr.org. Hit the tip jar, man, and help support people-powered radio. Going to be taking you out here with an interview and a song by Casey Dietz from the Velveteen as it leads us into Rites of Passage here on KZFR. And you can find the Chico Vibe, man. Look us up on Facebook. Like us, follow us, and thanks for being listeners and supporters of People Power Radio. All right, Gamma Mash here for the September 8th Chico Vibe for folks that have been listening to the whole show, which I hope is most of the folks. We got Casey Dietz back here from the Velveteen. He's going to give us a little bit more insight on what the Velveteen's all about.
Velveteen is, we like to have fun and experiment a little bit. Like, you know, I like to play whatever I want to play, kind of just experimenting and, like, kind of pushing the limits a little bit and in each other and experimenting with, like, electronic stuff, but still kind of keeping it poppy and catchy and stuff because we all love that. Just trying to play the best music that we can.
And how many people are in your band? You're not teens, are you? That's just the name of the band, no. Velveteens, right? You guys aren't in your teens.
No,
right?
Velvet Old Men.
Velvet Old Men. Yeah.
Yeah, there's three, like, core members, and we have two of our good friends from the Northwest who come down and tour with us. Yeah, it's me and Josh Staples on bass, Judah Nagler on vocals, guitar. He's the main songwriter. And then Ephraim, Judah's brother, plays the keyboard and vocals, and JC McIntosh plays the baritone guitar.
Nice. That sounds like five. Did I count right? Five.
Nice. Us when we're on tour usually.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are playing tomorrow night, September 9th, 9:30 p.m. to midnight thereabouts, Duffy's Tavern downtown. You're playing with Surrogate and Scout. Maybe a little word about Surrogate and Scout, your bill mates.
Yeah, Surrogate has been around for a long time. Just like solid, super super catchy. Really great songwriting. Chris Keene is a really good friend, and he's recorded two records of my other band, Americas, which is based out of Chico still. So yeah, we're really tight with them. And Scout, I saw earlier this year, and it was really great. So I'm stoked to have Scout on the bill too.
And I'm stoked for just the old school, like, newspaper reel poster that Jake Sprecher put together, man, and hung up outside of Duffy's. It just grabs your eye, man. I'm running out to get a picture for you, man. I'll drop it. I'll send it to you. We'll do a forward promo with it.
Yeah, I love that. I haven't seen that yet, but I'm excited to see that.
Get on down. The Velveteen, Surrogate, and Scout. It's going to be tomorrow night, Saturday, 9:30 p.m. downtown Duffy's Tavern. Everyone knows where that is. I don't need to say it's downtown Chico. Everyone. It is an institution. Why don't you lead us into the bumper song that we're going to take us into Rites of Passage here on KZFR 90.1 FM. Casey?
The next song would be No Star from the No Star EP in 2010, 2011. Another one that we did a video for. It's like a really fun song to play for me. Yeah, song's still fun. It's really fun to play.
Get on out there, man. I know you got all people got, almost all people, Casey. I got the internet thing, man. TheVelveteen.com. And come down to Duffy's, man, tomorrow night. Check them out. Thanks a lot, Casey.